Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146, presents Lynn Samuels.
Go to FYF, whatever that store is. I don't even know what that means. Oh, for your entertainment. I can barely hear you. I don't know why that is. To see if they had the import of the cane, because it's out today, or actually yesterday. I don't know, but they don't have it. So we're going to have to wait till next week to get it when it's out here, if they have it. That is like the weirdest record store. You find like these obscure CDs in that store, but like regular ones, they never have. You know, they still have that, the old Keen, the first Keen, they all over. Oh, sale, it says $18.99. That's not a sale. They're very overpriced. But I'll buy it for you. I'll buy it for you. I don't know when we're getting it in the system. I thought it would be in the system. You're going to die. You're just going to die. I'm telling you, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And Garrett thinks he's escaping. Brian is off today already. He had to go to court. It's more than Carl Rove has said, too. I understand. What's he in court for, Brian? He had to go to court for, like, assaulting a talk show host, I understand. Speeding. Even Garrett thinks he's young. I think that is, like, the funniest thing. He and Garrett is 28 and a half. And, oh, no, not quite. Yeah, you are a half. And Brian was apparently just 21. And even to Garrett, that's like a baby. Isn't that funny? See, you're learning, Garrett. You're learning what it is to get old. That's, you know, you start looking at people, the police all look like 11. It'll happen to you. All right. So I don't understand this. I really don't. I get up this morning, and there it is. Karl Rove is not going to be charged. They are, however, put him in the electric chair. That was my... And this announcement is made by Karl Rove's lawyer. That he's been told by Patrick Fitzgerald that Karl Rove is not going to be charged. So I immediately, you know, being the responsible news person I am, the first thing I go is to my favorites list at home, which I don't have here, to, well, isn't it on everybody's favorite lists? Patrick Fitzgerald's very own Department of Justice website. Isn't that on your favorites list? Oh, my God. It's even on the first bunch, you know. I need to clean up that list. Anyway. Nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing. And up until I left, nothing. Had I not been BSing with everybody around here, I would have checked it before I went on. There is nothing on Patrick Fitzgerald's website. Now, wouldn't you think? And every story says, like, Patrick Fitzgerald could not be reached for comments. This announcement was apparently made at, like, 6 o'clock in the morning or something. I guess Luskin wanted to dominate the top news. Because probably working with Karl Rove, they wanted, oh my God, Bush is in Iraq. Rove is not being charged. You know, which led to Rush Limbaugh, because I said today, you know, got to turn him on. Gotta turn him on. And chortling, I don't know, what's like a bigger word for chortling than chortling?
Oh, these Democrats, oh, they can't accept her. Oh,
You know, and Schumer is out there yelling, but Schumer's right. Wouldn't we like to see a report from Patrick Fitzgerald? You know, like, all right, this is what I did. This is how I made my... I mean, after all, we paid for this. Right? Didn't Kenneth Starr come out with a report? Or are they only allowed to issue reports if there's, like, oral sex in it? Oh, God, I'll never forget the day that came out. Oh, my God. What a day that was.
Everybody's going, go to Patreon PDF. That's where he sticks the cigar up a vagina.
Which led to one of Boca Brian's biggest hit songs, which I bet that I have it somewhere. I'll never find it. It's called Bill's Cigar and Monica's Vagina. One of my all-time favorite tunes. So I think, I mean, all special independent, you know, councils or whatever they call him, they have to make a report. So I don't think it's so outrageous, Rush does. So Rush Limbaugh has now said,
oh, the Democrats. We're predicting they were going to take the House and the Senate. They were naming the new committee head. That just shows why it's dangerous to predict. But
We are going to gain seats. Because everything's going our way. Because the fact, somehow it is translated that the fact that Bush snuck into Iraq proves that they had a plan all along. And that everything is just going fine. Everything's wonderful. How many people got blown up today already? I think 16 people got killed. I think in Kirkuk. Everything's going fine. You know, as long as you're not one of the blown up Iraqis. And we got rid of the head of Al-Qaeda in Iraq. All right, well, number one, there was no Al-Qaeda in Iraq to begin with. Number two, if you read that story that I and everybody else had posted Friday, Bush could have taken Zarqawi out in 2002, but he didn't want to be bothered because it would have interfered with starting a war. But, you know, Russia is just going on, and the whole right wing, I have been told, like, forget about it, you were wrong, you lied. What did I lie about? What did I do? I didn't do anything. I just kept saying this guy is saying that, and he may still be saying it, Jason Leopold. Oh, God. I will say, all right, judges, press CIA lawyer. It's very hard to find anything on Truth Out. I'll tell you something. I don't like this website because you just never find anything. Caught in the cross of Mr. Fitzgerald calling. So you click that on Truth Out, and you see Sunday, May 13th, special prosecutor Patrick Fitzgerald. Fitzgerald served attorneys for Karl Rove with an indictment. That's their latest update, Sunday, May 13th. You know, I'm sorry. I don't like that Karl Rove was not indicted any more than anybody else. But it's the news. You know, it's like the news. So if it's like sticking your fingers in your ear and humming. Oh, well, if I don't put it up on my website, that he's not going to be indicted, then he's indicted? What? What? You're changing reality? What assholes? And I have to check Wayne. You know, I'll tell you this. Wayne Madsen, that's the guy who says that Bush is stripping Condoleezza. Okay? He's going to be on Bobby Kennedy's radio show? What the hell is that about? He's like Bobby Kennedy's, it's Wayne Madsen Report. I did the wrong thing. I got this married couple. I got Wayne and Rebecca Madsen. If you just do WayneMadsen.com, you get some couple where they post the events of their lives. I bet there are people who think that, I bet people think that. Wayne Madsen. SENREPORT.com. Okay. I'm going to go back someday and read about their lives. See how things are going. Okay, his book is out, Wayne Madsen. You know whose book is number one? Anderson Cooper. June 13th. There's a link between those who outed CIA counter, the Valerie Plame and Brewster Jennings and Jack Abramoff. He has an update. Oh, because he's at the conference I could have gone to, which I should have. I should have gone to it. Let's see the photos of, he looks fat. He looks fat. Oh, the pictures aren't loading in. It's this, I think it's Think Progress is running this thing in Washington that I actually could have gone to. They would have sent me. And I said, oh, my God, that sounds more boring than not going. staying home sounds more interesting than broadcasting from this thing, you know, that's going to be overrun with Air America and everybody. But they booed Hillary. They booed, you know, I don't know. What is she going to do? Is she going to use the fact that all the people on the left hate her as a way to appeal to everybody else? Isn't that really triangulation? See the nuts that you hate. The people who want to impeach Bush. And the people who, you know, want to cut and run from Iraq. Why not? Hate me. So that's why you should vote for me, because I'm not a liberal. She got booed by these people. According to Raw Story, oh, pardon me, it's not. It's an AP story, so you can believe it. A liberal crowd both, oh, they both booed and cheered. After she encouraged Democrats to have a difficult conversation about their, it's not difficult, Hillary, get the fuck out of Iraq. Oh, God, Hillary, you know, I guess in a primary I wouldn't vote for her. All right, so she, this is called Take Back America, and she's like right in the middle. She's right in the middle. She thinks it worked for her husband, but he's more charming than her. That's why it worked. She's only charming in person. Which actually, I think, Kaz, somebody mentioned that. She is, if you meet her, you love her. You can't meet Hillary Clinton and not like her. You absolutely can't. She's just wonderful. But she doesn't come across that way in the media, as we all know. But she, that's why when she ran for Senate the first time, she was all over New York State. She was upstate, downstate, you know, she was just all over. And that's how she won people over. Because she's so nice. She's like so not like what they tell you she is. And the people, you always see the people with her just love her. They adore her. All right, so there's still, nobody is, you know, Plame's attorney said something. Howard Dean said, everybody said something except Patrick Fitzgerald. So I'll tell you what I think, because I can't give up. Russia's right about it. I can't give up. How can you give up? How can you just say he's not indicted? They had those notes that he made on Joe Wilson's op-ed where Rove said, oh, God, what did it say? You know, it said, like, isn't she a CIA agent? Let's out her. I mean, it was, like, kind of obvious. That isn't exactly what it said. So I think he outed her, and then he lied to the grand jury. So I think maybe he made a deal. He is a good lawyer. You know, one thing about these people, they hire the sneakiest, sleaziest lawyers there are. This guy must be like a $1,000-an-hour lawyer. They all do. I mean, that's what Ann Coulter hired for her illegal homestead exemption and our illegal voting. She hired some amazingly expensive lawyer. So I think they made a deal, you know, that he's going to testify. You see, there's something interesting also going on with this, because now they're all turning on each other. You know, Scooter Libby is like saying really nasty things. You know, they're all like going to knife each other in the back, because there is no honor among thieves and leakers and Republicans and scumbags. So he probably made a deal. You know, how often do you see like some criminal? Well, we'll only charge you with like a misdemeanor if you testify against the drug dealer, or we'll let you go if you testify. Then apparently is how the entire legal system works. you know, is if you testify against somebody else, you're home free, you know, or home with less. So who knows what the hell kind of a deal he made. But if I was Scooter Libby, I'd be asking for some armor. Can I please have some body? Just the back. I just need the back body armor, is saying Scooter Libby. Or they threatened Fitzgerald. He's married, isn't he? You know, they probably said you're married, you have a couple of kids, you like those kids. Would you like to live to see them grow up? Would you like to see them live? Because I wouldn't put that past Karl Rove. You know, Tom Hartman, a couple of weeks ago, I never mentioned it, was making this really interesting point about the people that were anthraxed in Washington. After Tom Brokaw, who retired, the Democrats still had Congress back then. And it was like the head of the, what was Leahy? Leahy was the head of, you know, some big, it was like a very interesting, when you look back, if you want to be conspiratorial, the people that were anthraxed in 2001, it was like a warning. You know, it was like the mafia. You know, it was like waking up and finding that horse's head in your bed. Hey, Brokaw, Leahy, you know, the other one, it was all Democrats. It was like a warning. Play the game or look at what we can do with you. And I absolutely never thought of that. And I really don't, I didn't think Tom Hartman was, I didn't think he thought like that himself. But it was very interesting. So who knows, you know. Oh, congratulations. Jack Black had a baby. What is this big thing now where the baby is born and nobody wants to say what they named it at the beginning? No, no, that's not Jack Black. That was Matt Damon. Matt Damon named his baby Isabella, but everybody knew that because from the time Matt Damon and his wife found out that the baby was a girl, they've just been calling it Isabella in her stomach. And it came out over the weekend that Rachel Weisz and Darren Aronofsky named their baby Henry. There you go. So they're all like normal people with I don't think Jack Black. Would he give it a normal name? We'll see. You know, in a couple of weeks, it'll just be there. You know, they're not going to go, oh, big news. Here's Jack. Jack Black says he's going to be the best father. He's like so funny. He goes, I'm going to be the best father. If there's a contest, I'm winning it. I'm going to be the best. He's so, I love him. I had no idea he was married or, you know, had a woman with child. Whatever, since nobody's married anyway. I had no idea. He just seems like such a free little, you know, tubby spirit. Although that movie has looked, oh my God, that looks so terrible. That new movie, doesn't it? I never saw a movie look like more crap. I guess after you make King Kong, you have to do something silly, but, all right, so. Nobody's really interested in this Patrick Fitzgerald. I don't know why. I think it really is that people on the left are like, we're so dispirited that we don't even want to talk about it. And I'm on the left channel. What can I do? Hey, I'll talk about bullshit when I come back. Lynn Samuel, Sirius Left, 146.
Start your day the liberal way. Bill Press, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Okay. Here's the anthrax thing. I looked this up. I've been thinking about this for 2 weeks. New York, a letter addressed to Tom Brokaw contained anthrax. Around September the 20th. Okay. And the poor woman that opened it got a few symptoms. Anthrax, St. Petersburg. Okay, New York. The 7-month-old son of an ABC employee. But they don't know how that happened. A CBS female staff member. You know, they don't know about that. An employee of the New York Post. All right, that's kind of right-wing. But this is interesting. Tom Brokaw. A letter addressed to Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle. That it really is true. I never thought of how this was like a warning. The House of Representatives to... Okay, that was it. White powder, the House of Representatives. All right, so it's Tom Daschle. But it just does sound a little strange. It does sound like a kind of warning to somebody, you know, that they better shut up. Tom Daschle. So who knows what they threatened Fitzgerald with? I would have no idea. It's very interesting. See, you're all depressed. I'm very depressed. I was so upset. And then, but then, of course, you stop being depressed when you start looking at Drudge bashes Raw Story and Truth Out for... Not, I don't know, Drudge says that Raw Story didn't have the story up until like, 9:21 or 8:21 or something. And Raw Story's extent, now they claim they had it up at 7 minutes after whatever that hour, you know, 8:09. Why would Rove's lawyer announce this at like 6 o'clock in the morning? In his first even mention of Raw Story, the Drudge, oh, see, he wanted to be mentioned. The Drudge Report has filed a blatantly false headline, which asserts that the site did not post news of Rove's eluding indictment. You know, let me tell you first, Raw Story, this sentence is not written in the English language. This is a use of English. They can't write. In its first even mention of Raw Story, in its first ever mention of Raw Story, and there shouldn't be a dash between first and even, which isn't even the right word, the Drudge Report has filed a blatantly false headline which asserts that the site did not post news of Rove's eluding indictment, R-O-V-E apostrophe S, eluding into, that's not, could, Ross, rethink that sentence. You have to read that like 3 times till you even understand what that sentence even means. Until 8:21. The headline went up no later than 8:07. And here is the most astonishing sentence of all. And believe me, Raw Story of, you know, other than Josh Marshall, you know, but of the baby sites, you know, just, you know, children's sites. Raw Story does not employ someone to update the site until 8 a.m. What? You're a news site. And you have how many people running it? They have that Lisa, that what's her name? Larissa Alexandrova. And those, you know, gay guys, it's their site, right? So you have 3 people. It seems to me with 3 people, you have somebody working 24/7, don't you? Or close to it. They don't employ anybody to update until, then don't run a news site. Jesus H. Oh, my God. Oh, somebody wrote me and said, stop saying Jesus Christ. Believe me, honey, when I'm saying Jesus Christ, I'm asking for help. She says it offends Christians. So I said I would try, but I wouldn't succeed. Because I don't want to be nasty. She wrote like a really nice note. And where the lady signed it, she has this beautiful flower, this yellow rose and everything. And you don't want to be nasty, but I'm going to say it. Until we call Dan Abrams and tell him you want to put me on TV. I'm going to put a camera in here. What's better? You would get paid twice for the same show. You know, now that Dan Abrams is going to run MSNBC. Is that cool or what? Who would I get? Like, they fired the guy who's getting paid for 6 months on his $1 million contract. Oh, God. Can you imagine getting $500,000 for 6 months and not having to go to work? Could you take trips? Oh. Could you take some good trips on that? Certainly could. And Dan Abrams, who does that show. But you know, the first thing he did, he fired himself. He took himself off the air. And I say MSNBC is in such a disaster area that they might as well. I mean, you might as well hire anybody to run it. You know, people, oh, God, that bitch in the Washington Post, that Lisa De Moraes, who if I hate somebody, I love the way she just attacks people. But I think she's nasty just to be nasty. So she's like mocking Dan Abrams and he has low ratings and he's no good. And how can he be running everything? You know, and he has the lowest rate. That doesn't mean that he couldn't improve MSNBC. And sometimes if you're in such a mess as MSNBC in the ratings, you might as well try something unusual. You know, let somebody who never ran a TV network, who's intelligent, run a TV network. We all know nobody watches his show. But that doesn't mean that he can't run the network. He doesn't have a fabulous persona. He doesn't have a great on-air persona. So I just said to Dave Gorab, call him up and tell him to mount a camera. Oh, I have to broadcast starting in 2 weeks from like a different studio. So I'm going to be all like upset. Because I must have total consistency in my life. Well, except for the 4 years when I was happy, when I didn't have any consistency. But now that I'm unhappy again, I need consistency. All right. Well, I don't know. So the Raw story, which doesn't employ anyone. Oh, God. See, that is what I was talking about yesterday with this Yearly Kos thing. About people raping the internet and not understanding that the internet is an end in itself and not just a way to get a book contract and a TV gig and a radio gig and whatever else, you know, and a gig at Time Magazine. If you're running a website, you are supposed to love your website so much that you don't employ somebody to update at 8 o'clock. Maybe you try to be up at 7. So you can update. Oh, my God. They have no devotion. I don't know what they do with Raw Story, but they're certainly not devoted to this website. Now, the only excuse, maybe they're at this, you know, that stupid conference, you know, where Hillary got booed and cheered. But the AP only wanted to say she got booed. Then they say that Drudge lifted quotes from a Raw Story piece. From Karen Finney. They're very jealous. Hey, Raw Story, get up before 8 o'clock in the morning. Jeez. Gee whiz. So they're like just, you know, trashing the facts. Believe me, if Drudge said they didn't post until 8:21 or 9:21 or whatever, they didn't. They didn't. I go with Drudge. Of course, I know Drudge and I don't know them. And I'll tell you something interesting. He's not a lawyer. He really isn't. All right, so they're having their little arguments. Oh, I found the best story about the yearly co's thing. And the person who fed them the stale croissants, it was Bill Richardson. It was Governor Richardson of New Mexico. Oh, you didn't know he was running? I have to find, like, isn't there a website? I'm going to have to look around. That's already talking about, there must be, about the 2008 election. Because I certainly can't put one together, but we need a website just to say, like, how does these people think they can be president? Tom fucking Daschle. What is he even doing since he got not elected? Hi, I couldn't even get reelected to the Senate from a state with three people. So that certainly qualifies me to run for president. Bill Richardson... I actually like Bill Richardson. They'll be electing an Hispanic president. I know he doesn't sound it, but he is half, I guess. Just, you know, run with a Jew and we'll see. Oh, yeah, let's vote for the Hispanic and the Jew. That ought to be a good ticket. I mean, to find a Jew woman. How about that? That'll just find an Hispanic woman. You know, like, if you really want to lose. I'm Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Alex Bennett, mornings at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
Oh, God. Now, the latest thing in the Ann Coulter thing here. Now they're accusing her of plagiarizing. But even I, who hate Ann Coulter, like poison. There's some sentence about, I don't know, about some dam or something, you know, some factual. You really can't accuse people of plagiarizing sentences that describe an actual fact. Because if there's an actual fact about something, there really are not too many ways to say it. So now who is this now? Gawker is saying she plagiarized in 1997. Oh, give it up. Just a bitch. Larry King, I got an email yesterday saying Larry King is doing a whole hour on Ann Coulter, but without Ann Coulter there. Well, that would seem to me to be the best way to deal with her. Now, I was, of course, sitting there watching Kyra Sedgwick. I always thought it was Kyra. But now I hear people saying Kyra. I guess it's Kyra. I love her. I love her. I have always loved her. I love both of them. You always figure if she's in something or he's in something, it's good. Except I wouldn't see the thing where he's the trial molester. I won't see it. The Woodsman, I think it was called. I won't see it. So I never got into The Closer last year. I watched it once, and I don't know. I'm getting already fed up with these, you know, like these gritty dramas. The that Firehouse one with Dennis Leary is too intense. And this gritty, real, you know, there's enough gritty. Gritty and real is like your life, if you live in New York, for sure. But I decided last night, all right, it's the season opener, but they did something I thought was terrible. They think this is a good thing. They had no commercials. Well, when are you going to get, like, a cookie? When do you go get a cookie? When do you pee? Who the hell can sit there for an hour? I can't. You can, like, in a movie theater. And, of course, you can't even check out another TV program during the commercials. And they have David Horowitz, who is, if anything, is even more insane than Ann Coulter, sticking up for her. He was like her surrogate. And I know Crooks and Lawyers had something, you know, where, like, he was defending her, and even he, you know, didn't believe. Oh, yeah, he was saying she didn't write the book for money. She doesn't write those books for money. You can tell because, like, you go in the bookstore, and they're just handing them out for free, right? Sure, or they're selling them very cheap so that only the publisher gets money. She is obviously such a good-hearted soul, Ann Coulter, that she is just donating all her royalties, you know, to charity or something. You know, and she takes a little left over to have two houses worth over $1 million each. So apparently somebody said to David Horowitz, oh, please, you know, and even he laughed, you know, because he knew what an idiot he sounded like. So they had, I don't know, when I was checking it out, they had this David Horowitz, who was in Surrogate, and they had some writer from the L.A. Times. And then Larry King had a bunch of 9/11 widows. Not the Jersey Girl ones, just I don't know where he found them. Various ones. And everybody made the same. You see, you couldn't have had Ann Coulter on the show. Because this was a show trying to have a civilized conversation. Which lets her out. And everybody's making the same point, which is so obvious. How stupid are people? You can sit there and say, I don't think it was proper that these women attacked the president, which I don't recall they ever did attack Bush. Do you recall those Jersey girls, like, attacking Bush? They may have said I don't know, they criticized him. But there's a large space between criticize and attack. Not to them on the right, but so it occurred to me as they're talking. Nobody's saying you can't agree with their politics. I mean, I don't know what their politics were. It was, let's have a 9/11 commission. Let's see what happened on September the 11th so that it doesn't happen again. Oh, well, my God, you know, that's terrible. So they're saying, the Horowitz, as somebody's saying, they attacked the president during a time of war. Now, Ann Coulter's entire point about the 9/11 widows, the harpies, you know, I mean, it's so obvious. Disagree with their political point of view. Why do you have to call them names? Why do you have to say they're happy their husbands are dead? Why do you have to call them harpies? Why do you have to say their husbands, for all we know, we're going to divorce them? They should take their money. They should go pose for Playboy. How idiotic is that? The more you think about it, the more it's like unbelievable anybody pays any attention to her. You know, but this is such an intelligent society. So that's the right is always saying this. They're attacking the president in a time of war. Now, Ann's whole point is that the left, the religion of the godless left, sends out people like the 9/11 widows and Cindy Sheehan and Joe Wilson. I don't know how he got in there, who have had some tragedy befall them, so that when they say horrible things, nobody can argue with them. Well, here you have a president who started a war based totally on lies. I know Rush would mock that, but we all know that's true. And then they turn around and say, you can't attack the president in a time of war. So they do the exact same thing. He started the war. It didn't have to be a time of war. You know, or not this kind of a war, you know. You can have sort of a general war on terror. I don't know how, but so they do the exact, and then of course she gets all snitty and snippy if anybody criticizes her. What imbeciles, what idiots, what morons. So Larry King, I don't know whether he did it deliberately, he found some black widows. He found some black 9/11 widows who were, oddly enough, they were very hesitant. They didn't have like a great way of presenting their ideas, but they were ultimately very articulate. They were nobody that anybody would ever put on television because they didn't have that spark. But they were intelligence. Oh, God, we can't have that on television. Intelligent. So then I went back to The Closer, but, you know, I don't, it just doesn't grab me. And then they had a premiere of a brand new series called Saved, I think it is, about an EMT whose father was a famous doctor, and he was going to go to medical school, but he didn't go, and, you know, now he's like a big old loser who's an EMT. So it's another gritty reality show with the anti-hero. Oh, Jesus. I don't know what I want to see on television. Oh, Last Comic Standing is on tonight. That's what I want to see. I don't know what I want to see, but one show is a hit, and then there's 500 trillion more exactly like it. And I like the anti-hero and the failure and the, you know, I like that. But not like every hour on the hour. And then, you know, these shows are on TNT. So who can even remember that TNT even exists? You know, that's the other thing. It's easier to watch network television. Because there's like 3-4 of them. And you can keep track of it. If you start having to keep track of fucking Bravo and TNT and FX, I don't know the last time I even checked out Monk. You know, I can't keep track of all of these stations. I really can't. We don't need them all. Who needs them? Oh, well, it is employing a lot of people. Can you imagine how the unemployment in this country would go up? If you got rid of all these extraneous, allegedly entertainment, I wonder how many people work now in the entertainment industry compared, you know, to like when we didn't have to be entertained day and night. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Tom Hartman, right after Alex Bennett and just before Lynn Samuels on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left, 146.
You know, we live in such an odd world. Me and Garrett are having this thing. Well, doesn't the cable company have a way that it'll remind you of what to watch on FX, you know? And I'm saying, well, I don't know, because I still have AOL. And I know when you sign on, mine says every day, no events. Because I don't even know how to use that calendar thing. I'm not interested. I do have no events. But, like, couldn't you make your internet remind you of what obscure cable channel you're supposed to watch every day of your life? There is something wrong with this society. There really is. There really is. Maybe when we come back, I'll talk about how in 1861 you had to play the piano by lantern light. We have another hour. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left, 146.
Sirius Left 146 presents Lynn Samuels.
Oh,
Bush leave Iraq yet? That's the first single off the new Keane album. We have that. But that's the least of it. Believe me. See, he was going to spend 5 hours. Well, you know, that's probably enough. And guess when the president of Iraq, Mr. Maliki, I like him. He seems like he kind of has, could have a mind of his own. You know, until we have him assassinated. Because we certainly don't want anybody running Iraq with a mind of their own. How long until we're going to have to be overthrowing him? Oh, Jesus. What a load of crap. Oh, the other thing Rush was chortling about at noon today. He's going, Bush's numbers have skyrocketed. That's the word Rush used. Skyrocketed. Right up to 38% approval. Skyrocketed. I mean, my God in heaven, right? But what would they be saying if he went above 40%? What's better than skyrocketing all the way up to 38? So they have such trust in the new president of Iraq that do you know when they told him Bush was coming to meet him? 5 minutes before Bush walked in the door. He didn't have time to make sure he had, like, a clean shirt, you know, a splash a little cologne, or order out, you know, for some, I don't know, what do you order out for in Iraq? The Green Zone has all these fast food restaurants. No, the Green Zone has all these American fast food restaurants. The Green Zone, in my understanding, now I certainly wouldn't know, is like, it's like being in America. It's not like Iraq. It's like comfortable. You know, it's all the big shots that they, see, if you're in the Green Zone, the chances are you're going to live. It's not like the rest of Iraq. And they have like Burger Kings and stuff. So they could have like ordered, you know, the breakfast croissants from somewhere. But they didn't even tell the president of Iraq, or that he's not the president. There is a president. There's another. Aside from al-Maliki, Bush was to see Jalal Talabani, Iraq's largely ceremonial president. So what is this Maliki guy? He's the prime minister. So hard to keep track. But it doesn't matter. Today's prime minister is tomorrow's terrorist. You know, how much you want to make a bet? That if somebody else doesn't kill this poor guy. See, what I like about this Maliki is like last week or something, he said, it is really not acceptable for American soldiers to run around killing civilians. I don't like that. And then 2 minutes later, somebody came out with a press release that said, they misquoted him. It was a bad translation. He didn't mean that. What did he mean? Oh, fine. Come on in. Kill the civilians. But they never explained what he really said. You kept looking for like, oh, okay, what did he really say? Nobody ever told you. So you can tell that was American propaganda. So if the insurgents don't kill this guy, then we'll have a chance, you know, what, in 6 months, a year, you know, to say, well, he turned on us. He's dealing drugs. He's, you know, oh, he was terrible. Because believe me, there's people... They want Jalabi to be the head of Iraq. That was the plan. Guess who's closing up shop? Talking about the plan. This is not getting enough coverage. This is not getting enough coverage anywhere, you know, because some people who pretend to be doing leftist radio are too busy calling everybody a homosexual. Randy. Remember the famous project for the new American century? Remember them? Remember the people who outlined the whole plan to invade Iraq in 1998? You know, not that Bush ever thought of it before 9/11. They thought of it in 1990, you know, Bill Kristol and Cheney and Rumsfeld, you know, all those people who just happened to end up in the government. That coincidence thing going on again. The people who wrote the letter to Bill Clinton in 1998 and saying, what are you sitting around for getting a blowjob? You could be invading Iraq. Well, the Project for the New American Century is closing up shop because they've succeeded. And the neoconservatives are now all fighting amongst themselves. It's like two reasons. It's that they hate each other now. Because you have people that turned on the whole idea. You know, that Francis, what's his name? Francis Fukuyama. You know, that guy who wrote that end of history thing years ago. What do you think he was going to do? What do you do after you write a book saying history is ended? You would think he'd retire, wouldn't you? If you're like a political writer. History's over, goodbye, you're never going to hear from me again. He didn't realize he had, like, written himself into a corner. You know, it's don't start painting at the doorway and go toward the window at the back of the room, Francis. History's over. Well, now what am I supposed to do for a living? So he turned on the neoconservatives. So they're all fighting with each other. And I have a story up. I took it from antiwar.com because the only other thing was like one paragraph. It was actually broken in the Washington Post yesterday. But because every group of people is a little incestuous group. I love when the left says that about the right. But the left is like... See, that's one of those things where you make something totally human into something political, okay? You say, what's happening with the Project for the New American Century is the people that are still left working there, they did have a staff. They're all moving upstairs, literally in the same office building, five flights up, and they're all going to work for the American Enterprise Institute. And I've been in that building. It's a lovely building. They say that just shows how incestuous they are. But obviously, if you're on the right and you're an opinion maker, obviously they all know each other. I mean, it's not like some underhanded, sneaky thing. They know each other. And they're friends, as you would assume they would be. And somebody said, oh, my God, you know, this PNAC thing is not going very well. So somebody who works at the AEI says, oh, well, you could come work for us. That's just life. You know, that's not a conspiracy. You know, why are all the people that work for Clinton now working, I forget the name of the organization. It's the people that run that thinkprogress.org website that's run by John Podesta. So they were at that yearly cause thing. And gee whiz, Jennifer Palmieri, who's, you know, one of the big Democratic spokespeople. She works, I mean, because they all know each other. And you say, oh, I need a job. And you say, oh, I'm opening this bullshit institute. Come work for me. It's like with all the cable channels. You know, there's right-wing institutes and left-wing institutes, and everybody knows everybody. You say, come on, here, make $150,000 a year. Talking bullshit about everything. Oh, I'm at Bravo. We started here. Come work on this. Is there anybody in this country who actually works anymore? It's like a real job. Maybe it's just because of where I live. I mean, you know, because I guess New York, Washington, and L.A., right, are probably the no real working capitals of the world. You walk around New York, and what is it here? We are, what are we doing? We're sitting around BSing. Some people are BSing to music. Right across the street, Fox News. right across the street the other way, Premier Radio, Glenn Beck. Why don't they get off Glenn Beck's ass? You know, these left-wing, this is why I hate everybody. Glenn Beck, who I really like on the radio, as long as he is not talking about politics. You know, because he's just an idiot right-winger. He is, he's just a moron. I mean, he's whether he just says all the same things they all say. But he gets on the other day and he says, who did he say it about? I don't know. Somebody, he compared somebody to Hitler. Hitler said a few things that were true, he said. And then he said, oh, but it's all the Jews' fault. I don't even know who he was comparing to. But every goddamn left-wing radio station is playing this, you know, because David Brock, who used to be on the right, but then he came out, so you had to go to the left because the right didn't want to fag, you know. Oh, God, media matters. Leave him alone. Glenn Beck is actually, when he's not doing politics, he's fairly amusing. His TV show is a little weird. But he knew when it started. You have to give him, you know why you have to give Glenn Beck credit? He has this weird TV show that's on about 50 times a night on Headline News. His promos, he says, I'm on right after Nancy Grace, but he doesn't announce. He's also on right before Nancy Grace. He's on at 7, 9, 11, I don't know. It's like, man, we paid for this hour. We're going to show this 1 hour 40 times a day. And you know what he did on his radio show? Before this TV show, he started doing a pool about how many weeks till they threw him off TV. Because I think he's not stupid enough to think this is any good. Now, I don't know. Maybe it's going to break his heart. He's on a lot of medication. He is. He also has kind of a more interesting story than these people. He was an alcoholic. So he's like an AA. He has ADDH, whatever, you know, HMOBS, whatever. And I don't know whether he's still taking Ritalin. But when did I go to Memphis? April? He was talking about they wanted him to take Ritalin. He was going to start taking. And on top of everything else, he's a Mormon. He's like a Mormon in Philadelphia. So leave him alone. He is not, you know, the most horrible person. And he's certainly not the worst talk show host. But, you know, the left had to get, you know, it's like, get on the bash Glenn Beck bandwagon. All right, so what now I have... all these stories. Actually, two of the most interesting stories I didn't even post at LynnSamuels.com. Oh, by the way, watch out on your plane, Garrett. Watch out on the airplane because the air marshals say their bullets are too powerful. The air marshals testified somewhere and they said we should not be using these bullets. They used the kind of bullets that would go right through one person and, like, kill the person sitting behind them. Okay? So just watch out. If the air marshal shoots at anybody, it could go right through. They say on an airplane, maybe you shouldn't be using bullets that could go, like, right through one person and kill another person. Maybe that's not it. And the, who's ever in the Department of Homeland Security said, oh, shut up. You know. They don't care. You know, and the bullet could, like, go through two people and then go into the cockpit and knock out all the, equipment. And you could crash, too. So you could be, like, shot to death and killed in an airplane crash all at the same time just because they have the wrong bullets. So I hope you enjoy your flight tomorrow, Barry. People, I just don't understand people. So the two best stories, which I didn't even post. Um, are, yeah, Project for New American Century Closing. Read that's very interesting. I'm perusing the wires last night. Even though there were no commercial breaks during the closer to do it during. Talk about a tortured English sentence. And I see the story that says they have, this really stopped me, they have okayed the first pill to take for seasonal affective disorder, which I develop around September, when you can feel the earth, you know, turning or rotating or whatever it does. You know, when you know you're going to fall and winter and then there's no sun. So they have okayed the first pill. Now, I wouldn't take it. Because, you know, you take one pill and then you have to take another pill to offset whatever the bad from the first. But, you know, and the next thing you know, you're taking 10,000 pills. But that's a pill that would tempt me. So that you don't feel all winter like you're not even alive. I'm going away in October, by the way. I wasn't going to. I said, you can't go away before the election. Then I'm saying, what am I going to sit here and read polls from 50 states? Really? Really? I might as well. Of course, we're going to be attacked in October. Well, it's the old October surprise. God knows what's going to, but I am. And I'm going to book it soon. Because all they keep saying is you're not going to be able to fly the planes. I think get 4 months ahead. I think 4 months ahead you could book your hotel and your room, right? I don't think that's like as crazy as it used to be. Just make sure you have the flight and the room. Stay an extra day this time. Maybe I'll have enough time to find an apartment in Scottsdale. Yeah, right. Anyway, so they have okayed the first pill for seasonal affective disorder. But it's not like a new pill. It's Wellbutrin. That's also supposed to make you stop smoking, isn't it? It's like a fabulous pill. It just, Jesus, does everything. I think the time release one, it's got two letters after it. I don't know. So they've okayed that. You know, it's like a mood elevator. So you go, well, I'm not taking that. I'll be depressed. I really have got somewhere in me this belief, if this is how God made you, just be that way. And I know you could say, well, if God made you like, to be diabetic and die, then why should you take it? But it's different. This has to do with like your mind and your personality. It really is different. I mean, you could take a million pills, you'll be somebody else. So, I read that. And then I come across another article that says people on antidepressants are much more likely to become diabetic. Which, and then you go, you see, I'm not so crazy. You can't just be taking all these pills all the time. You really can't. You know, and then what? Okay, say you're a girl. I used to be a girl. Alex was so right. I've noticed that for years when he said that there is an age where the men and the women, you look exactly the same. That is so true. All right, so say you're a girl with seasonal affective disorder and you don't like having your period either. So what are you taking? Wellbutrin and you're taking Seasonal and you're like fucking up your body. I mean, somebody tell me that anybody on this earth really believes you can sit there and just take, well, I don't like having my period. I'll take this and oh, Jesus, I get depressed. I'll take that. No, I don't want to smoke. I'll take the other one. And how can you do that? If you're sick, you cure something, but these are not diseases. So you get depressed because there's no sun. Big effing deal. You wake up, oh, I don't want to have my period. I don't know, then why don't you have a fucking hysterectomy? There you go. That'll solve that, won't it? People are just... Oh, geez. Oh, wait, let me tell you what happens to me on the subway when I come back. Lynn Samuels, and in the store. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146. It's amazing how nobody gives a shit about Karl Rove. Isn't that amazing? Is that, that really is amazing to me. Lynn Samuels, Sirius Left 146.
Ed Schultz, right after Lynn Samuels, 3 p.m. East, noon out West on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
Yeah, where does it end? Like Garrett is saying, Garrett is obsessed with this, the new disease they've made up of what is it, shaking legs, restless leg syndrome. Now, I don't know, I think I've had that like maybe twice a year. Like you'll be laying there and your legs will start shaking. You go, oh my God, I'm having a stroke. I guess it would be annoying if you had it all the time, but there's some pill for that. And apparently now they're very big on dry eyes. Dry eyes. There's, I keep seeing dry mouth now, too. Like dry So if you're the kind of a person that's suggestible, you could just be taking so many pills. For your restless legs and your dry eyes and your seasonal affective disorder and your, oh, get rid of that period. Then, of course, you'll never be able to conceive because you have your insides so fucked up. So then you'll have to be doing all that, you know, fertility crap. I don't understand it. I don't understand people. I don't understand. It probably has something to do with this endless entertainment. With Garrett said to me, I can't even go out to my deli to the corner without putting on the Walkman. You know, the, you know, whatever, MP3. Well, I must say, I beat you by 25 years. Because from the day I bought that first real Walkman, which was about 20 minutes after they were put on sale, because, man, I was always into, oh, God, the idea that you could walk around listening to music. I went insane. And the radio, you know, and then you had to get, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. God, it was so expensive when they felt with the TV sound. Oh, my God. Now they're not. I mean, now you can actually. But I don't think there's an MP3 player yet with TV sound also. But you can still buy the cassette, you can still buy those. And the ones with the AM, FM, and TV sound actually got, they got down to like the same $29.99 as all the rest of them. But I was into that from day one. But it is literally, if I say I'm going to the corner to buy the paper, I can't walk. Is it possible to walk out of your house without things in your ear? To have music to entertain you on that long trek of a minute and a half to the corner? I can't do it. You get on the subway. Actually, there are days. There are some days you get on the subway and every single person has headphones on their ear. And there was, I don't know what day it was. I got on and I counted out of like 9 people. 7 of them were reading books. Not magazines, not newspapers. 7 people out of 9 were reading books. Without headphones. But here's how crazy New York is. And I add to it. I certainly added to it. I nearly got killed in a sheet store. As a matter of fact, Friday, I go to see Prairie Home Companion, and I get on the train to go home. And luckily, it was one stop before I had to get off. Now, I live. See, when I moved there 6 years ago, I said, what a wonderfully diverse neighborhood I live in. But, you know, after a while, it's not diverse. It's third world. And I say to this day, you know who the best neighbors are? If you're going to live amongst people that are of another ethnicity?
The Muslims are the good ones. The Muslims said they're sweet, they're nice, they speak English. They're well-behaved.
And I would love to ask the guy that runs my supermarket what happened to all his Muslim checkout girls. Because they're gone. They're gone. We don't have any anymore. We have the snotty ones with the attitudes who are not Muslims. So the stop before mine, a guy gets on the train, and this is like a big way of knowing you live in the third world. He had never heard the word, like, deodorant, apparently. And he's standing over me. That's the worst, man, you know. And I literally had to get up because I was going to vomit. There are two things that really make is people drenched in perfume, which I am now noticing more and more men drenched in, I guess, cologne, but where you just wanna retch. You know, a little cologne, a little something. I can't even wear that. I only use body spray. You know, because that's the lightest scent. I don't know. Can you ever smell that I'm wearing anything? You would never tell me anyway. I heard. You can never tell that I'm wearing it. So I guess I spray it on and it must dissipate immediately. Because I'm always afraid, because I know this, they were talking about, Alex was talking about this, is that women, you know, who start putting on too much perfume. And I'm so afraid of that. And I hate the smell of perfume. Some body spray, it smells nice. You go three sprays. The back of your neck, your chest, and your left arm, if you're right-handed, and probably your right arm if you're left-handed. And then you say, all right, three things can't be too much. You never smell anything? I can smell it. Brian does? I didn't notice that. Doesn't bother me. It doesn't clog me up. All right, so this guy, but cologne is one thing, but body, I mean, vomitatious. But now I'm somebody, I'm one of these women, you know, that like if you really like some guy and you want to have sex with, you know, back when I was a woman, oh, God, the smell of sweat on a man that makes you hot. The sweatier they... I had this boyfriend that was like a part-time carpenter. Very part-time. And my thing was, come right over to my house from work. I was like, just... No, I have to go home and take a shower. No, you don't. Oh, no, you don't, because... They're just so hot, but you have to love them first. To love their stink. You know, oh my God, I really was, I used to beg him to don't take a shower, just come stinking, sweaty. What a turn on. But not a stranger on a subway. So, I move away from this guy because I'm getting off anyway. And there is a woman sitting on a subway. Now, a subway is very public. And I'm not, you know, I am sort of. It does kind of creep me out, all this breastfeeding. I mean, I know it's what it's for and all of that, you know, but I don't want to be watching. But I see women breastfeeding, although I've never seen one doing it on the subway before. And if you have a baby that's still being breastfed, it's likely to be of an age where they're like always spitting up. You know, babies, like, they're always spitting up, which is, you know, a polite way of saying puking, actually. So there was this, I had never actually noticed the woman. There was this woman sitting there, and she had this really cute little girl, like 3 years old, and then she had a little one on her lap, you know, it was probably one or under one. So I go down, and this woman is wearing a scoop neck, you know, a tank top. Had taken her breasts out.
and, you know, slap the baby on it. And she, you know, like, why don't you even have a towel? I mean, because if you don't have a towel or a diaper or whatever, this kid's going to be, like, puking all over you anyway. And you're on a subway. And you know something? Maybe there's other people on the subway who, although you could argue forever that it's totally natural, and the people who tend to do that most in public really are not like, you know, these third world people who think they're still in Mexico. But they're these goddamn yuppies. You know, they're always, oh, it's natural. I'm whipping my titty out on 72nd Street. But, you know, there might be other people that maybe don't want, like, their seven-year-old kid. You know, maybe it's not time for the, oh, a woman's breasts are not to, you know, make you a little dick hard. They're to feed a little. Jeez, I just got off the train, and I said, what, like, what country am I in? You know, she's whipping a tit out on the number seven. It's a good thing John Rocker wasn't around. He was the guy who famously insulted everybody on my subway. The guy who stank. Then I go on Sunday to the Upper West. See, my problem, you know what my problem is? I hate everybody. Because I can't figure out what I hate more. These yuppie scum on the Upper West Side who are moving in droves to Queens, to my neighborhood. We have people redoing. They just bought one of the apartments in my building. And they're putting in, like, black granite countertops. And I'm going, this is Queens. Who in God's name would spend the money to be putting in black granite countertops in Queens? Over my neighbor who lives next door to them, she said, this happens only two holes. She has to go running next door and say, what are you? It just made like two holes. And then I read that this happens for millions of dollars instantly. Oh, the chandelier comes crashing. I just hate them. I hate the people from this country. I just hate everybody. So I go linen, towels, curtains, which I already should know that the store all. So I get a couple of things, and I go to pay. Late for a break, you're going to have just left 146.
Bill Press, right before Alex Bennett, mornings at 6 East, 3 West, on Real Liberal Talk Radio, Sirius Left 146.
He's not like a brain surgeon. Okay, so I go to pay at this store, and there's a one of the four, there are four cashiers, of whom one is, two are waiting on customers. One is like with papers, and one of them is on the telephone. And what is so obviously a personal call, and the one on the telephone says, next, and I don't want to go. I don't want to go. I worked in retailing a long time. And you don't wait on a customer while you're talking on the telephone. But I go. And she's on the phone and she's saying, well, she should really see a psychiatrist. It is like blatantly a personal call. So I didn't know what I was buying, a pillow. I can't, God, I am never going to find a pillow I like. But it had no price ticket. And this store had like $60 pillows. So you want to make sure you're getting like a pillow that doesn't cost more than $20. You know, so I need to say, how much is the pillow? And I say, how much is the pillow? $14.98. And I say, do you have any idea
how rude it is to be on the telephone while you're waiting? And I say it in as nice a way, I guess, as you can say that. And you know what she does then? She switches her phone conversation to Spanish. She had been talking in English. Suddenly, and I say to her, and by the way, speak English, you're in America. Well. She gets really, she says, that's right, I'm in America and I can do what I want. Which is usually an Eastern European view of America, actually. And a girl who was not the manager, who was pretending, I know this because I was in retailing, you all pretend to be them. She says, you know, they are responsible for answering phone calls from customers. And I said, well, I'll tell you, while she was speaking English, it was quite obvious she wasn't talking to a customer unless she's a psychiatrist on the side. Well, you're the one that's being rude, one of them said. So I said, I am not being rude. I'm telling you that it is weird. You're supposed to wait on the customer, not carry on your... Well, you know, I paid for my stuff and I left. But why am I the crazy one? I'm not the crazy one. She's rude. They shouldn't have... But all these cashiers at this store are rude. It's actually a very nice store that you don't ever want to go to because these cashiers. I was in retailing. You don't do that. If you're waiting on a customer, wait on the goddamn customer and speak fucking English. They're investigating the cheesesteak store in Philadelphia that has a sign up that won't wait on you unless you order in English. Richard, Utah.
Oh, hello, Cinnamon. How are you?
Okay. How are you?
Now you know how long I've been listening to you. You probably forgot.
Yeah, that's a long time.
Well, I, the reason I'm calling, my faith in our government and humanity is about shot to hell.
Yeah, me too.
So what it is, I don't know who was listening to this morning, but they said that our dear President, Mr. Bush, back in 2005, got together with the president of Mexico and another president, the premier of Canada, and that they made some plans without consulting Congress about making one great big huge union, and that it's supposed to pass, be done by 2010 without the people or the Congress knowing about
it. Well, they do want a free trade... They want a free trade which I think we already, aren't Canada, the United States, and Mexico already have free trade? They want a free trade zone from Canada all the way down to Venezuela, you know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know about the free trade, but this is supposed to be doing away with the borders.
And well, you know, come on, in essence, we've done away with at least the southern border. Is there a border between us and Mexico anymore?
Oh, that's true. Anyhow.
Except for one thing, you know, nobody ever mentioned this. You know, there's an election in Mexico soon. Fox is not going to be the president of Mexico much longer. There's an election in a few months.
Oh, well, anyhow, what bothered me the most, what this guy was saying was that they're going to give a special pass or whatever to the Mexican citizens, and I mean to all of us, that we can go back and forth without any customs, without any questions or anything. And that's really bothering me. Do you know?
Well, I don't know that this is a literal plan, but believe me, it's going to happen.
Oh, dear.
It's going to happen. Forget about it. It's not America anymore. Give up. Give up. Get over it. Get over it. Learn how to sit. Find out what the hell the Mexican national anthem is and start learning it. And then we'll also all learn how to sing O Canada. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, bye. Thank you. Okay. Kentucky, Gene.
Hey, hon, I just wanted to ask you, a few moments ago I heard you describing a sweaty, stinky, smelly man. You weren't describing your days and nights with Rush Limbaugh, were you?
No, I went out on one date with Rush, and we did not have sex.
Hey, I just want to let you know.
And neither one of us wanted to, so we weren't holding back. But I had a lovely dinner, and even back then, when he had not been in New York very long and he wasn't that famous, he went everywhere by limo.
Good God.
So when we ate down near my house in the village, then we went uptown near his house, and he bought me a bunch of videos, and then
videos of what?
That we went into like a video. He would never rent videos. And this is before he was super rich. He would never rent videos because he couldn't be bothered returning them. So we walked into like Tower Video uptown, and he bought between, you know, he said to me, pick out something. And I picked out like a Marx Brothers. He said, no, not one, like buy whatever you want. So I pick out like five videos, and he picks out like millions of them, and we go up to pay. And the girl's eyes nearly, he bought like $500 worth of videotape.
And he wasn't that rich in
And this is like 1987. It was, you know, he had just come to New York.
He didn't get famous until after Clinton got in office, did he?
Well, he was making a lot of money. He was syndicated before then. And he was, believe me, making a lot more money than I was. But at that time, somebody to walk into a video store and buy $500 worth of videotape.
Was there any porno in there?
No, he was buying, he likes all those Goldfinger and, you know, those 007. I think he was stocking up. And I bought, like, Elvis Presley movies and Marx Brothers movies. And I bought,
Did you watch that
Grace Kelly that... You give to her and he give to true love, the whatever movie that came from.
Did you ever watch any of the old W.C. Fields movies?
Yeah, I don't like W.C. Fields.
You don't?
No. Although he said one of the best things I ever heard.
Pardon me?
A virgin is a young girl of about 4, very ugly. And he also said... Water, never drink the stuff. Fish, fucking it.
That's right. And there's one other thing he said.
What?
I am free of all prejudice. I hate everyone equally.
Oh, my God. No wonder I love him. Hey, me, W.C. Fields, and H.L. Mencken can go hang out together. Thanks, darling.
Thank you, hon.
Bye. Bye-bye. Yeah, that was my one date with Rush. And then, and that was uptown, and he lived uptown, and then he sent me in the limousine to go home. So there was like no sex, no sort of sex. None of my, and we never went out again, so you know there was, you know. Fred in Wisconsin.
Hey, how you doing?
What's up?
I've been listening to you for about a year now, and I just love it. You're so damn funny.
Oh, well, thank you. You're not going to think I'm so funny when I tell you I really have to take this break now, don't I? Can we put him on hold? Can I put him on hold? How do I do that? Click to put caller on hold. Stay there. Don't go away, but it's late. I'll be right back. Okay, well, go see him. Hi, you're back. Fred. Oh, Fred. Is he gone? Click to put caller on hold. Fred? I'm not hitting. Oh. Fred!
Hello?
Yes, you're back.
Yeah. Oh, great. Anyway, I love your show. You're so damn funny. And I think above even the humor, I love your honesty. You know, you don't always take the politically correct thing to say and so forth. You say what's honest. I love that. But the one thing you said a few minutes ago that I had to call and just say something about is the English thing. You're talking about the clerk in the store who switched to English and then, or Spanish, and then you had to tell her to switch.
Yes.
And I hear that so much. We live in an area that used to be the whitest city in the world, and now we have a lot of Asians and a lot of Hispanics, and all the languages is just fantastic. I love hearing all the languages. You know, the different rhythms and
Well, yeah, but the thing is, she was waiting on me.
And I was pissed off that she was having a personal phone conversation. And
yeah.
And when the minute I said that, that conversation switched to Spanish, which, you know, it was like a whole different thing. Plus, I think we ought to make a law that everybody has to speak English in this country.
Oh, do you really believe that?
Well, in public. Yeah, yes, for public. If you're going to drive, you want people voting who can't even speak English.
Well, no.
I mean, in your own home, like you're on the subway with your family, speak whatever language you want. But you want to vote or drive, speak English. Darling, the whole show is over. All right, Garrett's going away and whatever, but I'll be back.
Defending truth, justice, and the...